I'd like to share with you one of the smorgasbord chapters of the Bible. How many of you ever ate at a smorgasbord restaurant? Hold up your hand. Well, I'd see some of you. Well, you know what that is, don't you? That's where people make a hog of themselves, usually. Because they go and they get all they want or all they can hold and more than they need, and they make as many rounds around the thing as they can go, and you can't carry anything away with you except what you put in your stomach. But now, this morning, in this message, I'd like to share with you one of the great smorgasbords of the Bible. And I want you just to help yourself. And don't be afraid of gospel colic, because you won't have it. And there'll be no bad repercussions unless you refuse to eat what we're fixing to put on the table. Now, God's good spiritual grub always does right and helps. Now, remember, there's only one disease in the world today, physically. You know what it is, don't you? That's malnutrition. That's all. Malnutrition. It may be caused by rebellion or ignorance, either one. But both would be bad, or either would be bad. Now, there's only one disease spiritually. You know what it is? Malnutrition. We're exactly what we eat. Got to be. We're what we eat. Spiritually, you're what you believe. I read yesterday what Jesus said, and we'll come to it in the lesson or message today. According to your faith, help yourself. You can have anything you can believe for. Isn't that a wonderful promise? I mean, that's one of the wildest promises of the Bible. Just go ahead and believe it and get it. He said, if ye abide in me, my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, it'll be done. Or in other words, if ye abide in me, my words abide in you, just ask big, and you can have it. Now, the text today is, she's not dead. She just looks like it. And you folks may not be dead, but some of you look like it, sort of. I mean, look like you're weary or worried or upset or troubled. And some of you, I mean, there's no need being like that. Brother, we're close to home we've ever been. And I tell you, I'm going to do my best to stir you from out of your wits while I'm here. I mean, I'm going to try to encourage your heart and give you a new grip and a new leaf and all that. And we're going to get in the Word of God and have a good time. And so I want you in, and don't be pulling back. Just don't be pulling back. If you want a blessing, you can have it. If you want your needs supplied, well, just you can get them supplied. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Let me introduce the message by this. Yesterday, the most unusual caravan, a little Christian caravan, traveled from beautiful East Texas down to the gateway to the Rio Grande Valley, which is Corpus Christi, Texas. In that caravan was a truck and a trailer and a pickup and the little bus that we have that carries our girls and all of our girls going along the trail. You know, I've thought about it a lot of times. They're looking for a city and looking for a home. That's our girls. We have five homes. And this message is dedicated to the girls' home and to our radio friends out across the nation. We've built boys' homes and boys' ranches and boys' everything else. We've done nothing for the girls except all send them to the reform school, and that's it. But after we've taken them for years, we've decided it's God's will, and by faith. And listen, the thing that encouraged me this morning when I was praying, and the Lord reminded me, said, son, you've never looked for a city by faith when you left Ur of the Chaldees, but you found one. And you've never believed me for anything that was right that you didn't get. And that's right. And so I have no doubt about it. But there they were, traveling along, looking forward to sort of tending for a while, camping for a while, in an old house that's given to me, and on a lot that was given to us. And that'll be the beginning officially of a permanent girls' home. We've had it for months and even for years, but we never have had a definite place that we call their home. Now, I'm dedicating in this chapter concerning the little maid, and Jesus said, she's not really dead. She just looks like it. And you know what the world said, don't you? Ha!
That's what you think.
They laughed at him. They literally laughed at him.
Now you have your Bible
open to Matthew chapter 9.
Now, the 8th chapter is a tremendous chapter also, but we're not going into the 8th chapter. We'll just start with Matthew. That's Matthew chapter 9. Now, I want to rehearse the chapter for you a little. We'll not read every word of it, but we will see, first of all, the picture of something that's so needed in the churches today, and that's cooperation. There were four men that got together and said, you know, we've got a neighbor, he's in bad fix. And looks like there's no hope for him. But I tell you what, let's do. If you boys will lend me a hand, we'll pick him up and carry him down on the cot, and we'll get in and see Jesus. And that looked like a silly thing. The old boy, no doubt, groaned every step he took, had some sort of bone trouble or some sort of misalignment, and no doubt had suffered and hadn't walked, and there he was. And so they got down there, and you know, you always run into opposition just before you get to Jesus. Don't forget that. Nobody ever gets to Jesus without opposition. If you get to Jesus and get the blessing, you're going to have to bypass the devil. You're going to have to stomp and run over him. You're not going to get to Jesus without some trouble. So they got down there, you know that, don't you? Sure, big crowd. Sightseers. That's about all. They were sightseers. They wanted to see him perform a miracle. They didn't care anything about Jesus. They said, well, let's just go down and see what he's going to do. They tell me that he performed some unusual things. But here was four men that had a crippled man, and he needed something. He really did. And they couldn't get to him for the press. That means the press of the people. But he didn't give up, did he? You know what happened? They tore up the rooftop, laid him down in the presence of Jesus. And Jesus said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Well, you know what happened, don't you? The devil chirped up and said, wait a minute, you blasphemer. You can't do that. And Jesus said, all right, which would you rather me do? Say, thy sins be forgiven, or take up thy bed and walk? He said, do either one. I can do either one. And of course, you know, religion goes by sight, and that was a religious guy, the Pharisees there. And if they can't see something, they can't, you know, they feel like it's, and so it's outside. Religion's always outside. That's the reason they have to have a lot of decorations in some of the churches, you know, have to have this and that and the other. And they say, oh, wasn't that a worshipful atmosphere? Listen, brother, you can't get saved by atmospheres. Praise God. Heaven's not going to be an atmosphere. It's going to be a real place. Amen? Yeah, y'all come on now. Let's get on the wagon. Go along with me. If you don't, I'm going to run off and leave you. Now, they said, why, yeah, if you can make him pick up that bed. He said, arise, pick up thy bed, and go on home. My prediction is, he didn't have too much trouble getting back through that crowd. I imagine they parted when they saw him coming. They said, oh me, we better watch him. He carried the bed and went on home. You know what happened? They didn't like it. When the multitude saw it, they marveled, glorified God, which had given such power in the men. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. One of the briefest conversions of the Bible is right here. He saw him sitting at the receipt of custom. He was a tax collector. His name was Matthew. This is one of the most marvelous things in the Bible. Jesus said, follow me. Follow me. And he arose and followed him. You count the words. 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8. And you got the first writer of the book of Bible, of the New Testament. He said, follow me! And the word of God, the power of the word, fell on Matthew, that Jewish tax collector, and he got up and followed Jesus, not knowing that he'd be recording that very experience one of these days. And he did. He did. That's a marvel of the word of God. And that's why we're going to have during this meeting. These few days we're to be here, just the word of God, nothing but the word of God. And so he arose and followed him. Now then, this is where the opposition is going to break out. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Why does he do that? Why did he go home with Matthew? Why did he do that? He's a publican, he's a sinner. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Jesus is the great physician. We need to get him to the sick people. I mean to the sinner man, as the colored people used to say. We need to get Jesus to the man that needs something. Yesterday was a wonderful day, always is, when I get to go to jail. And the prisons. I was in two penitentiaries yesterday and had Danny and Margie with me. Of course, Margie had to sit in the plane or the car because we didn't have a matron to take her in. These were men's penitentiaries and thousands of people. Oh, I never have seen the field so white. You'd say, well, what do you think happened yesterday? I tell you what happened. People got saved. Both of them, people got saved. I've seen I've done the preaching penitentiaries and churches. I really had. Listen, if I didn't have to do deputation work and just kind of go among God's people, I'd just go to penitentiary. I'd go to one another. Why? Get more people saved. I'd a lot rather preach in the penitentiary than anybody's church in the world because I'd get more people saved because they know they're sinners. You can't get too rough for them. And I just barnstorm, hoot and holler, and jar and stomp my feet and everything and tell them what sinners are. And he just sat there and I'd say, that's right. That's me, all right. I'm in, giving invitations. Here they come, right down there. I always give public invitations. I said, just come on down then. Get on your knees if you want to be saved. Here they come. Here they come. Well, you try that in church every you get. Especially Sunday morning services, you know, when they sort of start an iron that need to be washed. That's right. Boy, I tell you, I get so tired and sick of religion, I don't know what to do. People got Sunday morning religion, you know, and say, let's get it over with. And no need you watching your watch, sister, brother, anybody in here, see. When I get through preaching, I'll stop. But you just get it all. You need some. Especially those. And you know the people? Listen. Now, this is strange, and I love every one of you. You know I'm at home here. A fella came to the motel and got me this morning. You know the C's operate the Howard Johnson Motel over there, and they always treat friends, and it's just good. Everywhere I go, I've got so many nice places to stay, and I appreciate it with all my heart. But he sent a fanatic after me this morning, see? They just sent him over, that little old fella coming driving up, you know, and I didn't have a chance to preach nothing. I mean, he just jabbered all the way, you know. Boy, he said, yeah, he said, used to be a liquor store right there. I said, man, I'm in 1 week, my liquor bill is $54 a week. And he said, man, I tell you, the Lord saved me, did a good job, and he blessed my home, and he blessed my wife, and he blessed my boy, and blessed my girl, and he said, I go visiting with Brother Robert, and we have a great time, and why, he's the biggest fanatic I ever saw. Yeah. I like those kind of fanatics. I could tell somebody been preaching to him. Folks, that's the kind of Christians we need. Folks that have a burden for souls, you know. Listen, she's not dead. She's just asleep. We got to wake her up. Amen? But I tell you what, as long as she's asleep, the world will think she's dead. And if your church is asleep, they'll think it's dead. And if you're asleep, they'll think you're dead. And I tell you something else. When you go to sleep, to me, and a form of sleep to me is backsliding, getting cold into, just getting dozy, you know. I mean, just come in. And I started to say something. You know the people that come on Sunday morning, and they're going to come once a week, and that's it. I mean, maybe not here, but some places they're like that. I want to show you something, and this is strange. They'll come, the people that come just once a week, you know what they want? They want the briefest message they can get on Sunday morning. Now listen, Brother Wolf, I sure hope you won't preach till 12:30. Well, you may have a surprise coming this morning. You see, one reason I'm going to do that because you said you want me to quit at 12 and you need 30 more minutes because we'll get you awake, you'll be back tonight. Isn't it strange that you can master the gospel, but you can get too little? I'm talking about malnutrition. And so, Jesus said, the well don't have a need of a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy. Oh, this is a rebuke. This is a rebuke. He said, you know what you need? You need to go somewhere and learn something about mercy. You need to go learn. You need to go to a mercy school somewhere. Brother, I believe that's it. I believe that's it. Oh, how we need the mercy of God. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth all generations. Mercy. Plenish in mercy. Plenish in mercy. God have mercy. Have you ever heard that David said have mercy? Oh God, have mercy. And I tell you, if you're backslidden, that's your one plea. Have mercy. Oh God, have mercy. Listen, I'll guarantee if you get justice, and if I get justice, it's going to be too wet to plow. I mean, school will get out in a hurry. It sure will. Oh, as my mother used to say, my daddy used to say, the cake will be all dough if you get what's coming to you. Oh, what I want is mercy this morning. I really do. Even though I've been trying to walk with Jesus for years, I just don't have enough strength in myself. I've got to have mercy. Have mercy, oh God. According to multitudes of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly, thoroughly from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sins. I acknowledge my transgression, my sins ever before thee, against thee, and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and clear, when thou judgest well. Brother David, when did you get like that? Oh, he said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I was a sinner before I was born. Sure. Brother, when you get to go back that far, he's crying for mercy. Crying for mercy. And Jesus said, I wish you'd go and learn something about mercy. Why, he said, I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I haven't come to call good people and not any. I haven't come here to fool with a bunch of self-righteous religious Pharisees. I've come to deal with these people and know they're wicked. Poor Matthew, there he is, little old Jew sitting down and raking in the money, tax money, raking in the money, you know. And said, little old fellow, lonely, go home at night with a heart that's heavy, longing for the Messiah. Well, he said, I just showed him who the Messiah was. I just came up there and told him, follow me. Now you folks are getting raised in Cain, see, and you're fussing and condemning me because I go in a home where there's some sinners and they need a great physician. Oh, listen, if this crowd in this building, this beautiful building on this lovely Lord's Day morning, listen, if this crowd right here, you young people sitting, you boys and girls and mothers and daddies, listen, if this thing would strike fire in your soul and you were to go out and start bringing in, we'd never seek the people in this big building. Before this meeting's over. I know what I'm talking about. I don't care what the weather does. We'd never see the people in this building, see? If this crowd right here now, if you've got dead in earnest about people that are asleep and that are dead and that need that hand of Jesus, and I tell you what, that little girl would have never gotten up if it had been left up to that bunch of criticizing. They had their timbrels and they had their cymbals and they had their noise and racket. The world's full of it. But there's one thing that little girl needed. She needed the hand of Jesus. She needed the hand of Jesus. And that's what you need. That's what I need. And in that precious hand is all that I need. It's all that I need. Well, let's go on. They had a little discussion about fasting and a little discussion about patching up their religion. But the ruler came, verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Now get your order. Get your order. While he spake these things, there came a certain ruler and did what? Worship him. What did he do? Before he ever asked for one thing, he worshiped Jesus. When he got there, the Bible says that he just worshiped him and then announced his sorrow. I tell you what, your sorrow won't be half as bad if you'll just worship Jesus first. I mean, if you just come to the place, you remember that moment in the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew over there that really, she said, my little daughter's on grievously vexed with the devil. Oh, she's tormented with the devil. And said, have mercy on us. That's it. She identified herself with that little girl that was so disturbed and possessed by the devil. And she said, have mercy on us. And, you know, she went through four great tests, but the Bible said she worshiped him and said, truth, Lord. It's all right. As long as the truth comes out, I just want the truth, and I just want you to do what truth can do for me. Now let's go a little bit further. And said, my daughter's even now dead, and Jesus did what? Arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Now then, on the way, you see, here comes another need. This need must be met. There's a woman that's been sick a long time. And she's got in the condition the world's in now. She spent all she had on the doctors, and she'd not gotten any better, but rather grew worse. And there she is, and she'd been sent home with a terminal written on her chart and saying at the end, and if it's like now, plenty of dope and needles and stuff to kind of let her rest, you know, and give her a little sleep and give her plenty of sedatives. But you know what she did? She wasn't satisfied with rest pills. She wanted
to be made whole. And she said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Folks, you get what you go after when you go to Jesus if you go by faith. She didn't go to be made better. She went to be made whole. She didn't want improvement. She wanted whole, W-H-O-L-E. She said, I'll be made whole. When she got there, you know what happened? She touched his garment, regardless of what the world would say. And she touched his garment, and she was made every whit whole. Jesus said, daughter, be of good comfort. Then why called her daughter? I tell you why I called her daughter. Faith in Jesus Christ will put you in the family. That puts you in the family. Amen? That's what you need. You know the reason I'm a son of God this morning? I didn't say I'm the son of God. You know why I'm a son of God this morning? My faith in Jesus Christ got me over in a big family. That sweet family. Gave me a new father. I like him. I love him. Oh, how wonderful he's been. Supplied all my needs. Journeyed with me. Why, listen, I've been in some tremendous dangers even on this trip. I really have. I mean, I've just been almost knocking on this door in some perilous dangers, in icy roads, and in some flying weather. And think, why, listen, my heavenly Father, I breathed before I left, called an angel and said, now, listen, get down there and sit on top of that airplane and watch over him for me. I give you charge. He looked at angel square in the face and said, look here, I charge you. I believe every Christian ought to have an angel that's been charged to look after us. I tell you, I don't take any credit for being alive at all. I really don't. I just give God all the glory and thank him that he's let me live down through the uneven journey of life. Daughter, give good comfort. Thy faith that's made thee whole. What made her whole? Education? Uh-uh. Doctors? Uh-uh. Medicine? Uh-uh. He said the faith made her whole. Now, you know, we have a lot of discussions, and let me enter just a little bit. Maybe before the meeting's over, I'll enlarge them. Now, people talk about divine healing and faith healing. They say, do you believe in faith healing? Now, when you ask a question like that, you have immediately questioned the Word of God. It may be because of your ignorance and not your unbelief. Because did you read what I just gave you then? What did Jesus tell us? He said, daughter, just be of good comfort. Thy what? Faith. Did you get it? Has done what? Made thee whole. All right. Now let me ask you a question. And I've never said this before, but it's time for it to be said just like I'm thinking to say it. If faith ever healed anybody, it'll heal them now. And if you don't believe that, you better have your revival. He said, woman or daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. And so, if her faith brought her to Jesus, now you know what I know. You know I don't mean to say that it's what the woman had that healed her. It's what got her in touch with Jesus that healed her. I don't believe faith even saves you. I don't believe praying will save you. If my praying saved me, I'd probably worship my prayers. But my praying, it just talked to Jesus, and he got in. And my faith just got me up to him, see? Sure, faith is that anchor rope. Faith is that pipe that pipes in heaven's provisions of grace, wonderful goodness. And so, but I tell you one thing, faith caused that woman to believe that Jesus was able, and what she believed he was able to do, he did do. And she went home whole. I tell you, folks, we need that in this decayed generation of sickness. We've never seen such a scourge of sickness since World War Number One as we're seeing right now. The whole world is diseased right now. One of the greatest international doctors that I know of has a big hospital. He said there are more dread diseases in America today than ever did lurk in Egypt's land. That's right. Listen, dear friend, I tell you something else. And the reason is, there's more spiritual diseases than there's ever been. There's more disobedience, there's more unbelief, there's more worldliness, and there's more deadness in our churches. And there's more religion and less righteousness than we've ever had on American soil. And that's the reason. That's the reason God said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and do what? Heal their land. And I tell you what, I'm on Florida soil. But I tell you, it's a sick soil. You ask any old farmer,
You ask these citrus growers down here in South Florida, around Orlando and Winter Garden, you ask them. They say, Brother Roloff, we've never seen our soil this sick. We've never dug up as many dead trees as we're digging up now. And I tell you one thing, honey child, when the soil gets sick, the man who eats what comes out of that soil is going to get sick. Don't you think we'll be just as sick as our soil? And we'll be just as sick spiritually as our soul. Malnutrition eats away at a decayed race today because of our undisciplined living and our disobedience and our refusing to fast and pray and to do what God tells us to do. Well, let's go on. We got to get to the little girl. We got all the obstacles out of the way now. Yes, sir. And we got this woman fixed up. Bless her heart. She's gone back rejoicing now. Now he comes in and gets in to the house. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise. I mean, there they are. They make a lot of fuss. But you know, rackets are our substitute for revival. I mean, I tell you the truth. Not long ago, I was in a place, and I certainly wouldn't say where, because I know it would bring down the wrath of man upon me. But I was in a place, and I tell you, we were having a great time. And all of a sudden, I said, all of a sudden, here came one of the wildest quartets you ever heard of. And I tell you, folks, Brother Roloff has reached the conclusion that this little gospel ditty music that features people instead of Jesus is not worth 2 cents. Well, we're going to do a little number here, and we want to feature our bass singer, and we're going to feature our tenor singer, and we're going to, and all of the contortions and bodily jumpings and expressions, as far as I'm concerned, it's just flesh. My soul does not get challenged or thrilled, but I just sort of get sick on the inside. Brother, when you come to sing, just get up and sing for Jesus. Just sing for Jesus. Oh, I tell you, we're to feature Him and let the Holy Spirit make our singing a spiritual. Now then, let's see what Jesus said. He said unto them, give place. Give place. Make room. Actually, what he was saying is this, if y'all will, please get out of the way. All of your racket and all of your music and all that stuff is not getting anywhere. And all y'all doing is just making a bunch of noise. Now he said, let me get, you see what I'm talking about? When a person is trying to get to Jesus, he has a hard time. When Jesus is trying to get to a person who has a need, he has a hard time. He's got to push him out of the way. He's got to get that bunch of religious racketeers out of the way. That's what you're doing. Just a bunch of religious racketeers. They hadn't done any good. And so he said, give place. For the maid is not dead. She's not dead. But sleeping. She's asleep. Now notice what they did. They laughed into scorn. And dear friend, that's about what the world would say today. They're dead. You know, once on dope, always on dope. They're dead. Why? Jesus walked in and said, they're not dead. They're just asleep. I'll wake up. And they had kind of a pretty jarring awakening, all right. And we had a hard time. They walked in to sleep a good deal. They really did. And they'd drive a car in their sleep. And they'd leave in their sleep. And they'd come back in their sleep. But finally, Jesus came in and opened up their eyes. And now then, they're just plumb enjoying themselves being around God's people. I mean, they're living on the right side now. You know, one of the things that amazes our dope addicts and alcoholics and our delinquent boys and precious girls and the fallen, they said, Brother Roloff, I just didn't know there was any people like this in the world. I said, you've been with the wrong crowd. The crowd they used to run with and shoot dope with and push dope and peddle dope with, they wouldn't take them in. They wouldn't take, unless they bought a load of dope, and they'd take them in and run them off and run out. But praise the Lord. You see what I'm talking about? They're not dead. The people we're working with, they're not dead. They're just asleep. But it would take Jesus to wake them up, I'll tell you that. I want you to know right now,
It took more than brother Lord.
Yes, sir.
It took more than man to wake these folks up. I tell you, it took Jesus to wake them up. But oh, when he reached out that hand and took them by the hand, they came up. They came, but she's not dead. She's not dead. We got a lot of people. I talked to the city last night down in the valley, and Brother Cooley said, Brother Olaf, don't bring anybody else. I said, we're loaded. We're full up. I said, we clean out another room, make room for what we got now. I said, don't bring anybody. They know I always bring somebody home with me. I usually bring from 1 to 3 home with me every time. You can just pick them up everywhere. Yeah, never forget that time. I right here, I believe, when they brought that little boy over here to me, you know? And that little old fella, I'm telling you the truth. He's memorized, I don't know how much of the Bible that boy's memorized. He memorized Matthew 5, 6, and 7. 5, 6, and 7 this summer. That's the little boy they brought to me right here. And over there, I believe it's at Moses. So I just praise the Lord. They're not dead. They're just asleep. But I tell you what, it's going to take more than a cold, dead church to wake them up. It's going to take more than a bunch of dead heads that drag off the church on Sunday morning to wake them up. It's going to take the power of God and the presence of Jesus to wake them up. And if you know some people that are knocked out in the sleep and sin and dead in trespass and sin, let's let Jesus on the scene and let's get something done for them. All right? They laughed in. They laughed in scorn. They laughed. They just gave the real strong, unbelieving laugh. Well, what do you do then? Put them out. Folks, you'd say, Brother Olaf, I never did see Jesus do anything marvelous. I never seen him perform a miracle. You know why? He had to put you out because of your unbelief. These people didn't get to stay in there because they didn't believe. And you've heard me say it, and I say it again. I never pray for a sick person if I know there's an unbelief in the room. And if I go in the room to pray for somebody sick, and there's 3 or 4 people in there, I'll ask every one of them, do you believe that God's able and willing to do what I'm thinking to ask him to do? Well, I don't know. I said, get out there in the hall. I don't want you in here. I really mean that. I'm serious about it. This business that had a bunch of old doubters and unbelievers hanging around, brother, put them out! You haven't got the business being around a bunch of believers when we got a job to do for God. No, sir. Only about pulling back. I mean, that's true. If I pray for a man's wife, and that man said, I don't believe the Lord will do it, I just tell him, well, step out while I pray for him. I believe. I still believe. I believe what the Bible says about it. And I've gotten a lot more since I've been believing. I believe that with God all things are possible, and nothing's too hard for him. He's the God of all flesh. And I believe Jesus meant it when he said, I thank you, Lord, that you've given power over all flesh. And if it's in the flesh, he's got the power over it. You better believe it. I believe he's able to heal, he's able to save, he's able to keep, he's able to bless, he's able to supply everything. I believe that. That's what keeps me going. That's what puts a bounce in both of my heels every morning when I hit the floor. I bounce about 3 times before I come down good. You say, do you? You go to bed happy every night. Nice night, I got through working at 12 o'clock. I woke up this morning at 6 o'clock. Happy in the Lord! Brother, Jesus is able to supply our needs, and we have no right to drag around like our God's dead. If you're going to act dead, go to the cemetery. It's a place for dead people. God's people ought to be alive. Jesus said, I came that you might have life, that you might have it more abundant. When he put the people out, when he put them forth, he went in. Notice, they went out, he went in. As long as they've in, he wouldn't go in. He got them out, he went in. I tell you, it's hard for Jesus to stay in the same room with unbelievers. I mean, something got to give. And he said, y'all step outside. And then this sweet thing, he took her by the hand. He took that little old, I know, they said, maybe it's a cold, dead hand. They said she's dead. And I guess evidently she was. Because Jesus said he went in, but he took her by the hand. And the maid arose. And the maid arose. I want to ask you some questions now. Do you have what you think is a dead cause? For instance, do you have a husband that's lost? And you just about marked him off and said he's dead. I've tried, I've prayed, I've waited. I've longed, oh my soul. He's not dead. He's just asleep. Do you have a son? I tell you, I called people down in Florida this morning whose boy's locked up. I called other people across the nation whose boy's in desperate trouble and said he's coming up for the trial in the morning. Coming up for the trial in the morning, and said, it looks like he's got to go to the big joint. He's got to go to the pen for years. Oh, I long for my boy to come to know Christ. And I tried to encourage them. I really did. I said, they're not dead. They're not dead. No, sir. I've got a case, and he's sentenced to the rest of his life in the penitentiary. And he said, you know, Brother Roy, he's already been saved, preaching the gospel in the jailhouse. He's not dead. He's not dead. No, sir, he's already had the resurrection. He really has. I was in the penitentiary. And I talked to a man, and he came up to me. Boy, he'd been listening like a little child. He seemed so sweet, so fine, had such a good attitude. And I said, how long do you have left in here? He said, all there is. All there is. But he said, you know, I just thought about it. Old boy had a great big smile on his face, you know. A big smile on his face. They called on one of them leading choir, you know, with this bunch of convicts sitting in there. Many of them been in there for many, many years. This boy got up. You know, it didn't question. He said, Lord, bless the men in death row. And I got up and preached on death row. We're all on it. You're on death row right now. Do you know that? Oh, you said, no, yes, you are. You're on physical death row. And you're on mental death row if you don't keep your mind on Jesus. And then if you're unsaved this morning, you're on spiritual death row. And you've already been condemned, and you're just waiting for the execution. You're just waiting for that last little step of life, and that last little breath, and that last little heartbeat that puts that life's blood out across your body. And I'll guarantee the execution is sure, it's already set, and it's coming. And I'll tell you what you can do. That's one appointment you don't have to meet. I mean, I broke my appointment. I mean, I broke that appointment with the electric chair. I mean, I broke my appointment with hell a long time ago. I didn't keep that covenant. I busted that covenant by faith in Jesus Christ. Wonderful, dear friend, to be a Christian. Oh, I wish I could get everybody here real alive and awake and interested in this revival and just get to sowing the seed and bringing in the harvest. That'd be a wonderful day, a few days. I've asked the Lord this year to give me more souls. To give me more souls. Look like I'm going to have to go to Penn to get them, but brother, I'm going to get them if I have to jump the fence or land. They let me land, you know. That's something I've used to think about. See, my mother used to say, well, boy, he landed in the fence. Well, bless her heart, her baby boy had been landing in the pen lately, landing in an airplane right down a mile strip, you know, and they come out. I tell you one thing, though, I never land in the pen without somebody being there to welcome me. Brother, there's some fellas up on the little walls, you know, and those little houses. And I want you to know, you talk about watching that plane. I don't think they're too interested in the plane. I think they're interested in the one that's in it. They look at me. Brother, I mean, they never take their eyes off of me. And I pull up there on that little ramp, you know, and park, and I'll guarantee you, you just don't have a run and a walk around there. They just kind of operate that thing the way they want. They got those big fences, you know, and them big old German police dogs that look like they're hungry for the cares of my leg. Man, I'm just glad God's people don't have to live like that. You know that? Why do I want to go to live where they have to be surrounded by a bunch of wild dogs? Chaplain went in there the other day, you know, and when they opened the gate, and they opened the wrong gate and turned them dogs loose on him, and I mean, they tore his britches off of him. And this guy tore him up. They got him out of his britches and they ruined him. Those old dogs is angry. That's for the devil's crowd. That's not for God's children. And I tell you, one of these days, hell will turn their hounds loose on you. Oh, my soul. I'm glad she's not dead if she's still breathing. I'm glad if Jesus is on the scene, she's not dead. I'm glad that that long, sweet arm of Jesus hadn't lost its power. I'm glad he's ready to reach out and take the old sinful hand and say, she's not dead, get up, let's go. Oh, are you willing? Are you willing? He said, make place. Make place. Give place. Give a place for Jesus today. That's what I'm talking about. Have you got any room for Jesus? No room. In the end, Margie said something yesterday, and I think she kind of liked it. She used the scripture, and I said, Margie, you can't go in to the penitentiary. And she gave that sweet smile. She said, you mean there's no room in the inn for me? Yeah, she didn't want that inn either. She'd been in that inn before, but she was thankful she wasn't going in there. But when we landed in Taxodep, she said, you know, my heart went out to her. She said, this looks like one of them old pens. Looks like one of just all of the light. Old walls and fences and guards. Yeah, that's it. But I tell you, dear friends, it's different now since Jesus has come in. Oh, listen, I'm still locked up, but I'm in a different jail. I'm in that loving jail of Jesus. prisoner Jesus Christ calls dead. Imprisoned, locked up in Him. Dear friends, I'll tell you this, I never want to get out. I never want to get out. I mean, I'm sentenced not only for life, but for eternity in that sweet prison for the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? The thing that grieves me, I'm going to close the message now. The thing that grieves me, this whole world is so full of people like the woman at the well. I was seeking for things that would not satisfy. And then I heard the Savior speaking, drink from my well. It never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting in my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and run it over.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. They sat at His feet and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee.